Welcome to the Unfiltered Empowered Woman. I am your host, Ellen, and I am a female empowerment coach. That means that I help you stop people-pleasing, stop being controlled by anxiety and overthinking, breaking your bad habits, and stop letting food rule your life. It's time for you to take your power back and become an empowered woman. In this podcast, I will show you the unfiltered version of myself and my guests. You know, the stuff that we can't put on Instagram. I want to show you how living unfiltered means you can take that power back and live a truly empowered life. Now let's dig in. Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today I am here with another podcast virgin. A guy, actually. I think he's my second guy on the podcast.
I love that.
Yes. Someone who's a very good friend of mine here in Bali and who's kind of like my son. He's like 10 years younger than I am. So I feel like a little bit responsible for him. But the reason I want to get him on the podcast is because he's so inspiring and just so wise, but like, wise in front of you? No, what's the saying?
Wise for your age? Or
something like that, yeah. There's another, maybe that's in Swedish I'm thinking right now. Anyway, he's a very wise person and I really want to get him on because he's just amazing. So Bram, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for the kind words. I'm really glad to be here. I mean, obviously we're friends and all, but I like everything that you're doing and what you stand for, so happy to be on the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited for you to be here and, you know, share a little bit more about your story with my listeners, because from what you've told me, it's like I could relate, so I can feel like a lot of people will be able to. But before we even get into that, can you just tell us, like, what do you do here? Like, obviously, you live here in Bali. Yeah, like, what made you move?
So I moved to Bali 10 months ago. I didn't plan on moving here.
Like everyone.
I came with holiday and then I happened to just get a job at the time and then I just never went back. So I work here as a fitness coach, a CrossFit coach. But I do all sort of classes, bodybuilding, booty classes as well. I mean, you love them.
We love those.
And next to that, I just started my online coaching as well, which I've actually been doing for years, but I just never went like public with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically what I'm doing here.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, I feel like that's literally every second person is like, going to Bali for a holiday, or like, coming to Bali and then I'm going to go to Australia.
Everyone
does
it.
Get stuck here.
They get stuck. They never go back.
Yeah, it's a good place to live. So how did you then get into like training and stuff? Like, have you always been into training?
I actually used to hate training when I was younger.
What? But you're so athletic. Like, you wouldn't think that.
Well, I didn't used to be. So no.
You weren't a little chubby boy.
I think I had this. I wasn't chubby. I was very skinny.
Yeah.
Like that was my problem.
I can see
the
that.
The opposite.
I've never seen you as like a little chubby person playing computer games.
No, I was never been chubby. Well, as a babe, I used to be actually. But no, when I grew older a little bit, I used to be more skinny.
Yeah.
But I think it was around the age of 13, 14 that I actually started to like a guy. And then I was like, oh, I need a more attractive body. I need to get myself into the gym. So then I went to the gym. Did it for months, quit. And I think that cycle kept on repeating itself for a few times. Also because I didn't like going to the gym. I didn't like working out. I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm.
And I was doing it for the wrong reasons. I think I was doing it to impress someone or other people. And it actually got to the point where I believe it was also just the new year. I made a bet with my friends. Okay, we're going to go to the gym 6 times a week. And the first one who quits needs to pay €5 for the other person.
€5?
Back then, that was a big thing for me. Right now, I would have quit instantly.
That's like $10
know,
or something.
Back then, that was a big thing for me. And I was also like, I'm very competitive. So if I make a bet with someone, I don't want to lose.
Yeah, I know you're competitive. I've seen you train. I'm like, that guy's crazy.
Sometimes a bit too much.
Yes, poor Hannah.
Sorry, Hannah, if you're listening.
Yeah. Hi, Hannah.
Anyways, we made the bet and I was expecting it that she would quit in like a few weeks or something. But she didn't quit as well. So it kept on going for 3 months. And then that's area, that stage, I started to actually like working out a little bit. However, I was still doing it because I wanted to impress other people, and a good physique, a good body. But because I actually started to see a little bit of progress, I started to like it as well. And then I just never quit. Eventually, she even lost the bet. And I won, but I kept on going because I liked it. And I think I went through like a long phase where I worked out and it was mainly focused on looks for me. And that also where I forced myself to eat as many calories and I gained 20 kg in 1 year, so I wasn't a skinny boy anymore. Wasn't also not the most healthy way to do it. But I think that's how my fitness journey kind of started. And then I found CrossFit. The rest is history.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, I think that a lot of people can relate to CrossFit. Yeah. To try and look good for a certain person. Yeah. And then, yeah, it doesn't
work. The thing is, though, that's never going to last. Like, you can have that as your motivation, but... Your motivation should come from something on the inside and not something because you want other people to be impressed by the way you look or the things you do. You should be impressed by yourself.
Mm.
And I think that's something people have to learn along the way. I think a lot of people start by wanting to impress other people. But I think, especially in CrossFit, people tend to go like, oh no, I want to impress myself. And that's what I like the most about CrossFit, I think.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's just like so many different... Like what I really like is that... Like, you can be really good at, I don't know, like, pull-ups, for example, but then I can be really good at wall
balls. Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
And then it's like, you know, we can still, like, not that this is true, because Bron will always freaking beat me, but...
Oh, stop it.
But, like, I could technically be really good at wall balls, you can be really good at pull-ups, and then, you know, we can still be kind of even in the workout.
Yeah.
Because we have different things that we are good at, and that's something that I really, really like about it, that it's very... Like, sometimes people are like, oh, but it's not fair, like, that person's so much stronger than you, and it's like... Yeah, but I'm probably so much faster than them.
Well, I'm the example of that because I'm not the strongest out there, but I beat everyone in the running workout, for example. And then they're like, oh, I didn't think you could do it. I'm like, well, that's CrossFit. And there's all these different variables of fitness, and I think that's what makes it fun indeed. And also, it's for everyone. So even if you're a super light athlete or you're the heaviest athlete out there, you're going to be good at one thing of the sport, and the other one is going to be good at another thing of the sport. And the trick is to be good at everything. But that's hard.
Yes, that is very hard. So I know that you did a lot of like competitive CrossFit and stuff like that.
Yes.
And you know, the reason why I reached out to you was because you posted like a really nice reel about finding your why and like how you were always doing things for other people. Like, how did you kind of transition like through that?
I think for me, a big reason why I also started working out is because I felt the need to be more masculine towards others. And I think also for me, that's why I like the idea of competing, because it's a very masculine thing to do, to compete and challenge yourself in that way. And I think, looking back on it now, I think that's the reason why I did it. And those competition years, I did 2 years of like full on training, 5 days a week, 2 times a day, didn't drink, didn't do any partying, had no social life. I mean, wow. You learn a lot from it, and you get a lot of discipline from it. But I think I did it for the wrong reasons, and I just ended up having a bad relationship with competing. I think when COVID happened, it also happened that I had no one to train with. So I was in the gym by myself, and then it just became clear to me, like, this is not what I want. I don't want to push myself this way. I'm doing it for the wrong reasons. And then I quit competing. And then I kind of fell into a dark hole. I go, what am I going to do now?
Yeah,
because that was my whole life for 2 years.
Yeah.
I did nothing else. Like, honestly, I woke up, train, eat, maybe have a little nap, train again, go to bed early. And that was my life every day for 2 years. So when that fell away, I didn't go to school, didn't go to university because I was focused on competing. Like, what am I going to do now? I felt also a little bit like, oh, my parents let me have those 2 years now where I can just train, and now I didn't do anything with it. I felt a bit guilty in that sense, and I actually had no clue what I wanted to do. And it just happened to be the lockdown, the winter lockdown of COVID, so it was a bad time, not the best. But I think that also allowed me to actually sit back and think a little bit. And what I then started focusing on is for training, I always love being outside. I love running. Whenever that came up in CrossFit, running is my thing, as you probably know.
Yes.
And I also just, I started training with my friends again. I always used to train alone. And I think it's also because of insecurity, because I was so focused on how I was being perceived by other people in my competition era, I would say. And when I started training with other people, it allowed me to just actually have fun with it and have fun with those people. And then I started thinking, what do I actually want to do in my life? I always had a very big interest into mindset when I was competing, even though it didn't show, but I did find it interesting. So I thought, oh, maybe I can study psychology. Maybe let's give that a shot. I always wanted to go to Amsterdam and thought, oh, okay, I'm going to give that a shot as well. So I applied to a university in Amsterdam for psychology. And then went, moved to Amsterdam, and I had this one big gym where I wanted to work at, if possible. So I went for a job interview there and got hired there. So everything started falling into place. And then I moved to Amsterdam, worked at the gym, studied psychology, quit after 3 months of studying psychology. The thing is, though, I am genuinely so lucky that I find coaching at such a young age. I always have a passion for making people feel seen, whatever that looks like for them. And I think in CrossFit especially, you can really help people gain confidence. Because like we said, there are no mirrors in the gym. Everyone is good at something. And it's really focused on what can my body do instead of how do I want my body to look like. So having find that passion at a young age, I think for me, that was just didn't make sense to study anything else. I just want to continue this and dig deep into that. So I did my personal training degree next to that. I already had my CrossFit degree. I just started coaching a lot, basically. And kept on doing that till I went to Bali.
I love that. I actually had no idea that you studied psychology.
3 months.
Even if it was... Yeah, but still, like, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Like, he's, like, very wise for how young he is. It's only 21, guys. It's a little baby. That's so cool. But I wanted to touch on what you said about that you felt like you weren't masculine enough.
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from?
I think for me, it came from... I came out at a very young age, when I was 13. And I always used to have, like, many guy friends.
Wow, that's young.
Yeah, very young.
That's very young.
So when I started liking that guy.
Oh, was he? Yeah. So, okay. Let me know if this is too much. But...
You can ask.
How did... Like, were you, like... Like, wasn't it confusing that you knew, like, they were like, oh, like, I like this guy and everyone else likes girls? Like,
I think I always knew.
Yeah.
At that point, I always knew. But it was more of like, okay, this is, I'd always thought it, but then that happened. I was like, oh, this actually, it is true and it's not something that's made up. I don't know why, but back then I didn't find it that hard. It was more afterwards, so years after that, I found it harder. But back then I was like, I'm fine with it. And obviously I did find it hard to tell my parents and like the first people, my friends, I found it hard to tell them. But I think what I found hard was, and it's also the masculine thing that I struggled with, is when I eventually came out for everyone, which was 2 years later, did that through an Instagram post so everyone knew because I just wanted everyone to know and then it was over with. I think that's when, and over the 2 years that went between me coming out to my parents at 13 and me coming out to everyone at 15, I think I lost a lot of guy friends. Well, I used to have a lot of guy friends always when I was younger. And I think that's when I started to feel like, oh, maybe I'm not masculine enough to have guy friends, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think me going to the gym and like getting a more masculine body, I thought that would help me gain more masculine friends. So basically it was also a way to get something back that I felt like I lost or I needed. I kind of lost the track of the question, actually.
We started talking about why you felt like you weren't masculine enough.
Yeah, so I think that's the reason why. I think I lost a lot of guy friends when I came out. And obviously coming out and being gay, it tends to be seen as something more feminine. So I think I just had a bad relationship with that. And the competition thing just made it worse for me. I think it was just a way to be seen as more masculine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's very interesting. But I can totally see how that would play about. And especially like with CrossFit being such a, like a man's game, and like, you know, every guy who is like huge, like, oh, not every guy, but like the top athletes, they're like,
especially when you're young though, like that, you're impressed by that in a sense.
God, yeah. Like, I'm still impressed.
It's intimidating sometimes. Yeah.
God, yeah. Sometimes I walk into Wanderlust and I'm like,
honestly, I don't care now. I really don't care. You can be the most masculine guy ever and walk in. Like, I'm not going to change myself or anything, which I used to do, I feel like. But it took me a while to get to that point. But I think what the nice thing about CrossFit as well, I think there's so much space for everyone. I always like to say this to people, like, oh, can I come to the CrossFit class? He asked me, and I say, you know what? A 75-year-old grandmother can come to the same class as the fittest woman on earth, and we're going to make it work. And that's just to say that everyone can do it. So I genuinely feel the room now to really be myself in a CrossFit environment. And I think back in the day, I didn't used to. Wasn't necessarily because of CrossFit or the people. It was more an internalized thing that I had to work through.
How did you then start working through that?
I think for me, what I needed to do was take a step back from the way I was training.
Yeah.
I was in the gym all day. And I think also because COVID, it allowed you to have a little bit of time outside of the gym and be more with yourself. And you shouldn't actually be with friends, but I spent a bit more time with my friends than I used to when I was training. But I think having a lot of time to myself to reflect and think about things that happened in the past. And also, it got to a point when I moved to Amsterdam and that no one knew I was gay, which was a bit weird because back in my hometown, everyone knew for years. And Amsterdam kind of happened to be this new little lie again that someone asked me if I had a girlfriend or something. I hadn't had that question for years because it hadn't need to come out for years. So I panicked a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it started out this little lie and it just kept on getting bigger and bigger. And then for a year, I kept that on. So it was really weird to have that double life in Amsterdam and then in Eindhoven, my hometown.
Wow. So you were kind of like pretending, oh, no.
It kind of made me sick of it that I don't want to live this double life. Mm. Like, it may sound so cliche, but I may die tomorrow and then I will have lived my life like this. You know what I mean? So it got to the point where I wanted to tell one of my best friends from the gym. He was also my colleague. And to him, like, I've always said all my stories, but I always said it in the girl variants, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he fully thought I was straight. But I was done living that double life and, like, hiding things. And I didn't want to do it anymore. I also noticed sometimes my friends from my hometown would clash into my friends from Amsterdam. And it just made me give me anxiety, made me panic. So I told him. And I think from him, I got the best reaction I could get. Like, he immediately gave me a hug and was like, oh, I still love you the same, bro, and stuff like that. But for me, hearing that from a guy, I think that was very healing for me in a sense, especially because I felt like I lost all my guy friends when I was younger, when I first came out. And I think ever since then, I've been just pushing myself to be open about it. Especially coming to Bali, I made a promise to myself, I'm not going to change myself in any way. If people don't like me, they don't like me, and that's fine. And yeah, here we are. I have never been so comfortable in my own skin, to be honest.
Oh, I love that. Oh, it's so nice to hear. And I can imagine it would have been so hard, like, at the start when people are asking and you're like, oh, like, I don't want to, like, I'm just new here. And I'm like, I want to make friends. And it's very easy to kind of manipulate yourself into something that you think that people will want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about attachment styles the other day, and I just literally just before this recorded an episode about attachment styles and, you know, how that is a big part of that anxious attachment that you do form into, like, people pleaser to try and get what you didn't get in childhood. And, like, if you're someone who came out when you're 13 and you lost a lot of friends because of it, like, of course, that's going to create a lot of wounds, and that's something that you're going to carry for a long time. So, I mean, I've always felt like you're so, like, calm and so secure in yourself. And I feel like a big part of that is because you're very comfortable in your own company.
Yeah.
Like, when I was 21.
I really am, yeah. Sometimes too much. But
But I love my own company as
Same.
Well.
But,
like, when I was 21, like, I could not be alone. I was just nonstop partying, drinking, like, being with different people, guys, girls, like, just all over the place. So, like, I do have to remind myself all the time, like, he's only 21, and he's, like, this knowledgeable and wise, and I wonder if it is because, like, you've had to go through, like that's quite a traumatic experience.
It was. I think it. I am. People always say this to me, that I'm a bit more mature than for my age. Yeah.
Like, I say this to you every week.
I do think it's because of everything I've been through. You learn a lot from me. You learn a lot about yourself.
Mm.
I've been through it where I've, like, put on the front to have people like me, like, change myself to have people like me. I've been through all that, and I've learned from it that does not bring me happiness. Like, even if I'm then friends with those people, I still feel like every time I'm there, I still feel like I have to change myself in order for them to like me, and I have to put on a different personality. And I think being here in Bali, I made a promise to myself that is done, that is over it, I'm not going to do it. And I think I found a people here that I genuinely vibe with so good. And they love me for me, I love them for them. And there's no need to change the personality. And I think once you start learning that and doing that, you will never do it again. because you know if I don't change myself or anything, I will find just the right people.
Mm. Oh, I love that so much. And I think it's such a powerful lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that a lot of people need to hear. Like, I know women in their 50s that are still trying to be someone that they're not because they want to fit in. And, you know, most people, they actually don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't know what they actually like to do. It's like, I am a CrossFit athlete, or I am a mom, or I am a teacher.
Yeah.
It's like, because people have no idea who they are, like, deep down.
It's hard, though. Like, yeah. I think also in this society, just talk about your life path, for example. You get pushed to go in a certain life path. Mm. You do high school, you do university, you do work. Is that even what you really want to do?
Mm.
You have to make all these decisions at a young age, and then all these things happen to you at a young age, and I mean, you may take it into your later life, but you ignore it because you just focus on the grind, the things that you feel like you need to be doing. Like, do you even take time for yourself and force yourself to actually go over things that have happened to you? And having said that, like, I don't think if COVID had happened that I would have taken that time for myself as well. So in that sense, I may be lucky, but it's definitely hard to do that. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, but I do get it why people find it so hard.
Mm, yeah, for sure. And I think that's one of the best things with being here, is that it really forces you to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have so much alone time. You, like, the pace here is just so much slower. There's so many different people from all over the world.
So nice, isn't it?
It's so nice. And
what I also love about being here is with the people. Like, they all came here. They left something behind. Mm. Most of them had no clue what they were going to do. And we're all just trying to make it work.
Yeah,
I think it just brings out such a good vibe to everyone around them.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I mean, the thing is, so, like, happiness is not a postcode. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, you don't have to move to Bali to become happy, even though we love it here.
Yeah.
Wouldn't not want to move anywhere else. But you can create this life in, like, Sydney or Amsterdam or Stockholm, wherever you're from. You just have to take that time to sit with yourself. And I think that that's what you did in COVID, that you just took that time to be alone and sit with those uncomfortable feelings. Like, you know, most of the girls that I work with struggle with binge eating, for example. And the reason that you binge isn't because you're addicted to food, it's because you don't know how to self-soothe. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I'm feeling all these really uncomfortable things, so I'm just going to eat and then I don't have to think about it. And being able to sit with that, like, that's how you're going to find your true self.
We tend to numb things.
Oh, God, yeah. That's what we've been taught since we were kids. Like, you know, you go to the doctor, you scrape your knee, or here's a lollipop, stop crying. I guess it's a normal
thing. So bad, isn't it? Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah, it is. And I think taking it back on, like, the people and body, I think a lot of people, yeah, they did do work on themselves, or they are working on themselves. Like, it's very free and open space to actually do that work. And I think that makes it so welcoming to be here.
Yeah.
Because it's, you can do whatever you want here. It's all free. But all the people that come here, they are genuinely, they are into fitness, or they're into mental health or mindset and stuff like that. And I think it's just very inspiring to be around those people. Like the saying, the five people you surround yourself the most with, you tend to be like those people. It's honestly, it's true.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Just taking it back from when I was at home for a few weeks. Mm. Like, I love my friends back there, don't get me wrong. But they all have different interests, so they're doing different things in their life, which are also amazing. But then all my friends here, they are into fitness, they're into mindset. You're an online coach, for example, so you're my friend. And it's just so inspiring to be around those people because they're all interested in the things that I'm interested in. So I think growing here as a person on a business, but also a personal level, is so incredible here.
Oh, God, absolutely. And who was I having this conversation with the other day? But I said, like, if I go to Revolvers or a coffee shop here in Bali, it's where I go all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, I can just sit down there and, like, start chatting to the person next to me, and all of a sudden they're telling me, like, their childhood trauma, or, like, their attachment style, or their love language.
That's so Bali.
And it's like, I love it.
Yeah.
But I remember when I first moved, I was like, wow, so taken back. Like, this is a, especially, like, being Swedish. Like, Swedish people are very, I think,
Dutch people as well. Yeah,
it's like,
you
don't show emotion. No. It's like, keep everything to yourself. Like, you're your own little box. Like, this is, like, don't come near me.
Yeah.
But here, everyone's like, yeah, like, this and that. Or, like just talk about everything.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like, even if you can't move here, I would 100% just try and come.
Go on holiday.
Just to like, and go alone.
Definitely. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When I first came in, the first month I was traveling. So I was just a backpacker for a month. And I met so many people here with a group of friends, which is still like, it's a good experience for you and your friend group. But like, it's just such a shame that you're not going to learn all the things that you will be learning if you go alone. Like, you have to be putting out of your comfort zone the entire time. And again, it sounds cliche, but the only way you're going to grow is getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And going by yourself, it's honestly, it's a life-changing experience.
Yeah, but it's the best place to go.
Yeah.
Like, there are, like, people always ask me, like, how do you make friends? And it's like, it's so like almost impossible to not make friends.
The thing is, if you actually live here, it's like you have to pick your friends because you don't want to be friends with tourists because they're here for 2 weeks. And yeah, it's hard to not make friends. Yeah, honestly, such a luxury problem. But it's true, though.
Yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely. And like
how many new people do we meet each day? Even going to the gym and stuff.
Every day. It's like people. And because most people come here, maybe not most people, but a lot of people come alone.
Yeah.
And they want to make friends. Like, I remember when I was only here for a month, like, kind of, like, testing the waters, like, oh, do I want to leave or not? And I met this girl in the gym, and then, like, the next day, I was like, do you want to go to Nusa Penida tomorrow? She's like, yeah, fuck it, why not?
Yeah,
and
then we just went. Yeah.
And it's like, that wasn't weird at all, but, like, God, it's Sweden? People be like, weirdo.
But I still do this though sometimes. Sometimes I meet someone, they invite me to something. I'm like, okay, let's go.
Let's do it.
And what you say in the Netherlands, I would never.
Never. You can't even sit
takes
me
6 months to build a connection with someone. but I do have to say, sometimes I also know that there's in the gym, people are by themselves and they're looking for friends. So I'm like, I'm not available.
Yeah.
I have my friends. So mean, but like, just you have to. You meet so many people.
But also, like, you have to protect your own heart, right? Like, if you're gonna become super close with everyone who's here for a week or 2 weeks,
it's hard.
So like, I did that at the start. So I was like, I want to meet everyone. Like, I'm like friendly.
But that's the thing, though. They're all like that at the start, so they want to be friends with you.
Yeah.
But like, they don't realize you've been here for 6 to 10 months already, and then you've already been through that phase and you did this so many times, and every time they leave after 1 or 2 weeks, and
it's awful. Yeah. And it's like, oh, just from this great connection with someone, and then they go, and it's like, oh, fuck.
Especially with dating,
that sucks, huh?
Especially with
dating. Oh my god, dating, honestly. Now when I go on Hinge, or even like when I was at Black Sand the other day and someone asked for my number, I was like, depends. It's like, oh, like, how long are you here for?
Really?
And then he said until March, but anyway, that didn't go anywhere.
We can deal with March.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you after. This doesn't have to go on the podcast. Okay. But no, but it's like, when I match with someone, I'm like, how long are you here for? Like, I don't even
First question.
Yeah, I don't even say hi.
Not how are you, no. How long are you here for?
Yeah, that's it.
Asking straight questions.
Otherwise,
question
I don't care. Like fucking, if you're here for a week, like, or if you leave tomorrow and you just want to go to Finn's and party the whole time, no. Not for me.
I have to say, like, it is also a question I ask. It's not my first question, but it's maybe my third or my fourth.
Yeah, but I'm 31. Like, I'm on time limit here.
Yeah, you need to find someone. Time is ticking.
Yeah, so as someone said the other day, I look old, so thank you for that.
Yeah, but that person,
let's
not get into that. We can say a lot of things about that person as well.
Yeah.
You don't look old. You look beautiful, Alan.
Thanks.
And even if you did, that would be fine. You know, CrossFit is for everyone.
Yes, even when I'm 74, I can still do the same class as you. Oh, fuck. I completely lost what we were talking about now.
I lost it as well. So we were talking about the people in Bali.
Oh, yes. The people in Bali. No, but with everyone coming, like, I do feel really, really bad when I'm like, I'm sorry, like, for friends.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to hang out with you. But, like, you have to understand as a tourist that it is really hard to constantly put your heart on the line and then they leave. And it's like, oh, God, like, I've just spent all this time and with this person. And then, you know, they go back to their home country and you never hear from them again. Like, it's not fun. So
in some ways, I do think it can be fun. Like, you do make all these friends from all over the world.
Yeah, that is cool.
So when I went to Sydney 2 months ago, just stayed with two friends that I met here, which is also nice for the cost, you know what I mean? But
fuck, Sydney especially.
Oh, I was broke after Sydney, but but no, it's genuinely nice. And when I go back to I'm going to go back for a few weeks in June to Netherlands. I will go to London, meet some people there, some friends that I made here. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do that if I didn't come here and if I didn't actually did meet people and try to be friendly and make friends.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a very special person where you're like, okay, I'll make an exception for you.
Yeah.
I'll be friends for you. Yeah. You know, our friend Haley, for example, like, she's not here all the time, but...
Yes. Hi, like, Haley. Hope you were listening to this.
Like, she's amazing.
Yeah,
but exactly. I do remember when she came into the gym, she came to the gym at Wanderlust where we train at, and I knew she was very friendly, and I did like her energy, but I was still like, yeah, you're a tourist. I'm not going to be close to you, but it just happened, and then when it happens naturally, it's nice, and now we're still in contact all the time. She was here last week. So some people, you do get to make an exception. You have to.
Yeah, for sure. So... you're obviously only 21. Like, what is on your agenda? Like, do you think you'll ever pick up psychology again, or?
Good question. So let me just start with this year.
Okay.
So I've been coaching.
It's only January.
I've been coaching for 4.5 years CrossFit. So I started pretty young with that.
Oh God! Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine being coached by a 17-year-old?
Oh my God! No.
Like, that also matured me a little bit. But
yes. Yeah. Does that happen a lot that people are like, oh, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about?
It used to. But also, again, that gave me a lot of confidence. Because then I'm also like, well, you're not going to listen. I'm not going to talk to you. I'll go talk to someone else. Yeah. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But I even hear it from, like, my older colleagues where sometimes someone just won't listen to them or won't take their advice. And obviously, they're older. They look more experienced. So it happens to all coaches, I think. And
oh God,
I think, especially in a group environment, in group classes, you're always going to have people who don't want to be coached, basically. But you can put it on yourself. You can also put it on them or just put it on no one and just move on. And focus on the people who do want to be coached. And so back to the plan for this year. So I just started online coaching. Well, actually, I've been doing it for like 1.5, 2 years, but I just never went public with it. I just have a lot of anxiety with posting on Instagram and stuff.
Yes, I'm trying to get him.
Yeah, we were working on it. And I genuinely, I start liking it now. I really like posting. And just
talking stories is next.
Yeah, talking stories is next. We're working on it. That's my goal for 2024, talking stories.
Hold on, I should probably do a few less talking stories.
Talk too much. You do a lot, though, but like you're good at it.
Thanks.
Yeah. definitely grow my online business, so that actually is going really well. Yes, like I just put it on my Instagram story for days. Could have clients out in Australia and Ireland and England and of course in the Netherlands, and just that idea is just insane to me that I have clients from basically all over the world. Then so I just really want to grow that. I think the whole Instagram business is very interesting. Like, there's a whole theory behind it, basically, about how you want to post, like when you want to post, what you want to put in your post, and what you want to put in your reels and stuff like that. So I think it's very interesting to learn more about that. I genuinely really like that. So that's my goal for coaching for this year. When it comes to the bigger view, I don't want to live in Bali forever, but just because I also want to be in another place again, like be out of my comfort zone again into a new place. So at one point, I would want to move away to another gym also, but where, who knows? I'm thinking right now, either Sydney or Mexico. They're very far apart, but those are the options I have in mind.
I want to go to Colombia. We'd be kind of close then.
Oh, Colombia, that's nice, yeah.
Kind of close.
Yeah, we can visit. when it comes to psychology, I did want to say something about that. For me, I think a lot of things I learned in my own life that I like to apply in my coaching to other people. So just the fear of being seen, for example, learning how to grow around that, evolve in that, fear of vulnerability, fear of failure, things I've all been through. I think I've learned a lot from that by just my own experience. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's that I'm a pro in that, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't go to university to study psychology, but I think life experiences are very valuable as well, and that may work for someone, may not work for someone, but I think that's something that I can also put value in other people's life with. And when I did study psychology, in my opinion, I learned a lot of can I swear here?
Oh, swear away.
I did a lot of bullshit. Like, I'm never going to use this in anything.
Yeah.
I had to, like, make Excel forms on how I should give an advice to someone. I think giving an advice to someone is either going to work for someone or not.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter if you studied 1,000 years or if you have all the life experience and you bring it on to someone.
Mm.
It's going to be the same thing.
Mm.
So for me, I'm not sure if I want to be a mindset coach, don't get me wrong, but I think I'm not interested in studying psychology more because I feel like from what I'm taking for my life, that's enough for me.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. And I think that, I mean, there's nothing wrong with like people who go
and become psychologists. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Yeah, yeah, don't get me wrong.
And, you know, there's definitely a time and a place for it. Like, for example, like I would never work with someone who's like suicidal or like
that's not my
clinically depressed or like anorexia, borderline of dying. Like, you know, those really extreme cases, I think that that's good for that kind of clinical environment that you learn when you do study psychology. But I've had so many clients come to me and they're like, wow, like I've learned more from you than what I've done in like the last 7 years of like counselors, therapists and psychologists.
That's the thing. You went through so much as well, you know what I mean? You have so much life experience. And like you said, like all those cases you just described, I think that's something else. And that should be handled by a specialist who studied for that. For sure,
yeah.
But in your case, for example, I would feel more comfortable going to you than going to a psychologist who hasn't gone through what you've gone through.
Yeah, and also, like, the thing with psychologists that people don't understand is that they have, it's very, very strict on what they can and can't do. Whilst for me, like, I don't have any rules. Like, I can do whatever I want. Like, if someone would work better with, like, a somatic practice, I can do that. If someone works better with, like, talk therapy, we can do that. Like, there's so many, it's a lot more flexible.
Yeah.
So, like you said, like, I don't think, like, there's a gazillion people who knows what you know, but there's only one of you. So people are going to choose you as a coach because they like you.
Exactly, yeah.
They can relate to you. And, you know, even if, you know, this coach is listening to this, like, that's what's going to help you stand out in a crowd. Not your qualification. No, exactly, people don't give a shit about how much you know. Like, really, very few people do. They want to work with you because how you present yourself, you know, what you like as a person, your coaching style, that's what they like.
Honestly, I agree. I couldn't agree more. And I think you're also very strong in that. Like, the coaching that you're doing, what you stand for, like, just taking a look at your Instagram page.
Aww.
I think if I will be someone who's struggling with the things you're coaching, I'll be very comfortable going to you, for sure.
Thanks, Rob. Unfortunately, I only help girls.
Would you not help me?
I wouldn't charge for it. I would just be like,
we're not friends. Let's say we're not friends.
Yeah.
And I have a binge eating problem.
Yeah.
And I'll be just so inspired by you, and I would want help by you, and I'll send you a message on Instagram. Would you help me?
I mean, I would probably. I do have one-on-one clients who are guys, but not in the group, just because I want the group of women.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
To just be like.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women, very, very vulnerable women in there, and I totally get that. Like, their husbands don't even know that they're struggling.
Yeah,
so I
can,
you know, presenting the idea that they're struggling with binge eating or body image or whatever to another guy. Like, when I was struggling, I wouldn't have wanted that.
No, I do get that. So, for sure.
The only reason I help more women is because I feel like I can relate so much more to women. Like, obviously, I'm not a guy, so I don't know what it feels like to be a guy. But I mean, if someone who
like
I felt...
Sorry to interrupt you, sorry. But do you feel like it's different for guys and girls when it comes to those eating problems?
I think that guys are a lot more in that denial phase.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys have been very brought up with that mindset of just suppress, like, no, you're fine, stop crying, like, very, like, avoidant kind of mindset.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very much hold on to this belief that being weak or being vulnerable is bad, that that's a weak thing, that asking for help is bad, I can do it myself, that kind of mindset. So sometimes it can be more difficult for me to help a male because of that. It's a lot more barriers to break through.
Yeah.
Whilst women, they're more like, more open to getting help. I mean, obviously there's case to case, everyone's different, but just in general, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, I've never had a client who said anything to me before that I haven't been to myself. Like, the reason I am so passionate and so good at what I do is because I've spent so long living it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's the same thing for yourself. Like, everything that you've gone through in the past and who that what's shaped you to who you are now, like, that's the experiences that's going to make you such a good coach. Mm. And this is just going to keep on growing.
Yeah, that's interesting. obviously, this whole world of binge eating is nothing that I'm very familiar with.
Yeah.
But, I do think it's very interesting to see the difference between guys and girls. Would you ever see yourself coaching more guys, or do you really want to stick to girls?
I honestly love coaching women.
Yeah.
I just...
You can relate to it as well, I guess, right?
Yeah. I honestly love it so much. And yeah, I think that you should stick to what you're really good at and what you're really passionate about. And I think that sometimes, you know, in the coaching industry in general, sometimes we try and please everyone and we try and be like, yeah, I can do that. I can be hormones. I can be gut health. I can be like blood sugar, like, you know, do everything. And we end up trying to wear all the hats.
Yeah.
Whilst if you could only do one thing and you can be really fucking good at that, then that's where you're just going to explode. Otherwise, you're just going to, you know, put a little bit of energy there, a little bit of energy, a little bit of energy there.
For sure.
Whilst if you could just take everything and put it into one, like finding your niche, it's just so powerful. And that niche might be small, but like that, then you'll become that person that people go to.
Did it take a long time for you to kind of find your niche, as in this is what I want to do? Or have you also like taken a dip in other parts of coaching?
Yeah, like when I first started, I was coaching nutrition.
I actually knew this, yeah.
Yeah, and I really wanted to work, like I really always been very into like the science behind things. Yeah. So I was like, would go like so deep into like, what is a protein? Like, what is it made of, the atoms and like everything, so deep into it. And then I thought I wanted to coach a lot of CrossFit athletes. I actually had a CrossFit athlete at the games.
Really?
Yeah.
Sick, who was it?
She was a... senior, like a 50s or 60s or something. Yeah, so that's what I thought I wanted to take my business. And like, this is so fun. Like, when you're growing a business, it's kind of like, you know, one opportunity might pop up and it's like, oh, I like this, and then you don't like it anymore. That's how it was for me. And then I started feeling like I was contributing to the problem at the same time as I was trying to cure it. It's like I was saying to people, like, lose weight, but also love yourself. Like, it was like,
you know what?
For me, it just didn't...
I find weight loss coach is always a bit hard.
Yeah.
Because I do get it, why they do it, but I think a lot of the time, not all the time, but it doesn't come for the most healthiest reasons why people want to lose weight.
No.
And in that case, I think shouldn't you need to work on actually loving yourself and your body, whatever shape it is. And don't get me wrong, like losing weight may help a little bit with that, of course. And it also can help you create a healthier lifestyle for yourself. Mm. But I think a lot of people get so obsessed with what's on the scale, also measuring their food, getting everything in. And like that's another thing that I don't think is super healthy as well.
No.
You know what I mean? I just find it
becomes an obsession. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Sure. Like, I was saying to someone, this is a bit controversial, but I feel like...
We love controversy.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go for it.
I feel like selling a weight loss plan... And also preaching, love yourself as you are. That's like having an AA meeting and selling vodka on the outside.
No, honestly, I agree. Yeah.
Like you're like that. And that's what I felt like I was doing.
Yeah.
And that's where I was like, no, I need to take a step away from this. And, you know, I've always been very open with my own journey. Yeah. And I started getting a lot of clients who were struggling with that. And I was like, I need to get qualified in this. And, you know, long story short, qualified, started doing this, let go of nutrition. Now this is all that I do. And I feel like, I know in my soul
it
like,
this is what I'm more. Meant to be doing. I think as well.
And like, I think it's so fine to change your niche.
Yeah, for sure.
If it's something that, like, once it stops kind of lighting your fire, like lighting your soul up, let it go. Because then you'll make room for something better.
And that's a nice thing also about being online. Like, you get the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. There's no rules. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Like, one day you might be a nutrition coach and you're like, you know what? I want to become a florist. Like, great for you.
Okay,
you
go for it. I actually have a question for you then.
Okay.
What do you see for yourself in the future?
Oh.
Any things you might want to take a little dip in?
I want to become a TEDx speaker.
Wow. That's cool.
That's my biggest goal that I have. But obviously, you guys know, if you've listened to my podcast, that I want to really grow the podcast. I said that to you before as well. I want to grow my speaking events. I want to get more into retreats, and especially here in Bali, there's such a market for it. Yeah, that's what I want to do and help, because I feel like that's what's going to really help reach more people. Like, yes, I can work one-on-one, I can work with a small group, but that's only a very limited amount. If I want to reach a million women and help them, I need to get out more and do more workshops, podcasts, retreats, stuff like that. So that's where I really want to take my business.
Do you ever miss one-on-one coaching, as in just physical, not online?
Like face-to-face?
Face-to-face, yes, sorry.
I mean, if someone, one of my clients would come to Bali, absolutely, I'd love that. Uh-huh. But unfortunately, they all live in Australia, so.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I feel like it would be really, like, good to do that, because, like, I've done one-on-one, like, face-to-face in the past, from, like, where I've been coached. And it's just, like we were talking about with Hayley the other day, like, you can see so much more about, you know, how the person walks into the room, like, what energy, and just the kind of, like, you can't sense someone's energy through the screen and also my job is a lot about, like, reading facial expressions and seeing, like, where are they looking and how are they sitting.
It's like,
are they
like this with the body Wi-Fi sometimes.
Don't even get me started on that. But yeah, no, it's difficult sometimes. But I see now that our time here is almost up.
Already?
I know. We've already talked for an hour.
No, really?
Almost an hour.
Almost an hour, wow.
I know. Insane. That went quick. Insane. But before we go, where can, like, who do you specialize to help, like, hand helping?
So online? I specialize in CrossFit athletes, mostly beginner CrossFit athletes who want to excel in the sport, nail the gymnastic movements, crush their weightlifting skills. So that's mainly my specialty for right now. So if you're a beginner CrossFit athlete and you are listening or watching, follow me on Instagram at bromhagen with two lines down. I post a lot of videos where I just try to help people gain their more confidence in their movements.
Mm. And you're a very good coach as well.
Well,
I feel like every
time
you've coached me, like, I've been training like 10 years and you're still able to find, like, little things, like, just move your knee a little bit out, or, like, look this way, or do that. And it's like, whoa. And that's, like, like, you really have an attention for details. So anyone who wants a really specific coach who can, like, really nail that things down, like, I would 100% recommend. I will, you know, link all your stuff in the show notes anyway, so that people can easily find you.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Of course.
I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me come on.
Of course. My pleasure. My pleasure. Might have to come back. We'll see. But guys, thank you so, so much for listening to this episode. You know, if you liked this episode, please, as usual, make sure you do take a screenshot, you put it on your stories, you tag myself, tag Rom, let us know what you thought. If you had any questions about anything, if there's anything that you could really relate to, you know, it honestly just makes me so happy when people put it on their stories. I'm like, yes, I can, like, get a face of this person. Like, I have no idea who's listening. I really, because you only see numbers on Spotify. Yeah. Like, you don't see, like, this is the person. Hey, lives here. Like,
oh, cool.
So, yeah, please, please, please do that. And yeah, thank you so much, Bram, for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It's
so
it.
Fun. And yeah, go check out his page. It's very informational. What's the word?
Informative. Yeah, there we go. Ending with a banger.
Amazing. Amazing. All right. Well, we will see each other very soon. And everyone else, I'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Bye.